Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Everybody, thank you for joining me tonight on Prophetess Fire. I'm your humble host, Prophetess Stacy. Thank you, everybody, for taking the time to join me on tonight. The first song I played was Come Just As You Are by Crystal Lewis. The second song was Tell Me the Truth by Stephanie Gretzinger. I can't get that song out of my spirit, Tell Me the Truth, even if it hurts me. Love can fix what's broken in me and you. Been listening to that all week, so I had to share it with you all. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I ask that you look upon everybody that's listening in, Lord God, that you bless them according to their needs, Lord God, that they may take from this word what they need, Lord God, and apply it to their lives, God. I ask that you empower them tonight, that you deliver tonight, Lord God, that you heal and set free on tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And with all that being said, let's begin. Tonight, the foundational text comes from Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 11, from the Amplified. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had not bore him any children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see here, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. I'm asking you to go into the bed of my maid so that she may bear you a child. Perhaps I will obtain children by her. And Abram listened to Sarai and did as she said. After Abram had lived in the land of Canaan 10 years, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar, the Egyptian maid, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his secondary wife.
he went into the bed of Hagar, and she conceived. And when she realized that she had conceived, she looked with contempt on her mistress, regarding Sarai as insignificant because of her infertility. Then Sarai said to Abram, may the responsibility for the wrong done to me by the arrogant behavior of Hagar be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, and when she realized that she had conceived, I was despised and looked on with disrespect. May the Lord judge who has done right between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, look, your maid is entirely in your hands and subject to your authority. Do as you please with her. So Sarai treated her harshly and humiliated her, and Hagar fled from her. But the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness on the road to Egypt by the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where did you come from, and where are you going? And she said, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit humbly to her authority. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. The angel of the Lord continued, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall name him Ishmael. God hears, because the Lord has heard and paid attention to your persecution, suffering. What if, for whatever reason, you decided to leave your car running in the driveway of your home? The car is not going anywhere. It's not making any significant progress. The engine is running. The engine is just running. And if you decide for whatever reason to leave it running long enough, all your expensive gas is now burned out with nothing to show for its efforts. But still it's burned out from running, going nowhere and getting nothing done. But still it's burned out from running, going nowhere and getting nothing done. All that was achieved was the car kept up a lot of noise, a lot of unnecessary noise. But running the car wasted time, gas, fuel, or energy. By running, but still sitting still and not going anywhere. And somebody, you say, well, Prophetess Stacy, how is it possible to run but still be sitting still? Why would anybody even want to abuse their vehicle like that? What's the point of wasting time and energy, not to mention waste gas like that? And if you burn the engine out because the car has been constantly running, who's left paying for repairs, paying for the damage? The answer is you, of course. But why? But love, all these are indeed some good questions. Questions that I should be asking you. That's right, these are questions that I should be asking you. Because that's exactly what some of you are doing, running. Because that's exactly what some of you are doing, running. Just like Hagar in tonight's text, you're running, but still sitting still. You're running, but you're still sitting still. Meaning, all that constant running has done you no good. What you're running from has not changed. What you're running from has not changed. You get mad, you run. They hurt your feelings, you run. They say or do something you don't like, you don't stick around. They say or do something you don't like, you don't stick around. You run out the door. Running has become second nature to you. Running has become second nature to you. Rather than deal with whatever it is, you run. And you're like a car sitting in the driveway. All that running is getting you nowhere. And your engine is experiencing signs of burnout. Signs that as a human being, your engine is experiencing burnout. Number one, you get sick and tired of that other person real quick. I'll say it again for somebody. The number one sign that as a human being, your engine is experiencing burnout. Number one, you get sick and tired of that other person real quick. Number two, you're quick to think about what you could do if you were the person that you used to be. Things you know not to do now. Things that you know not to do now, but still you find yourself entertaining the thought. So to keep from doing or saying something you shouldn't, you run. So to keep from doing or saying something you shouldn't, you run. But here's the problem with that. But love, here's the problem with that. You can't run forever. You can't keep running. Tonight's message. Now the text for tonight starts off with Sarai and Hagar going at it. They were going at it, y'all. They were throwing stone for stone at each other. Never mind that Jesus clearly states in John 8, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her in regards to the adulterous woman. And those who heard, the Bible says, they began to go away one at a time. Never mind all of that, because these two right here, they were not backing down. Never mind all of that, because these two right here, Sarah and Hagar, they were not backing down. Sarah and Hagar, they were going at it, as though neither had ever done anything wrong and was somehow qualified to throw stones at each other. Of course, Sarai threw the first stone at Hagar by sending Abram to her bed unannounced. Of course, Sarai threw the first stone at Hagar by sending Abram to her bed unannounced. Hagar then retaliated with some stones of her own. She then retaliated with a stone or two of her own. The text says, after she conceived, her behavior was arrogant and disrespectful. She despised Sarai and treated her as though she was insignificant. She treated her as though she was unimportant. Hagar even had the nerve. She had the nerve, y'all. She even had the nerve to throw up Sarai's infertility issues. She even had the nerve to throw up Sarai's infertility issues. She threw up her infertility issues in her face. Stone for stone, they were going at it. I remember when I used to watch wrestling, they used to say, no holds barred. They were not holding back anything. They were going at it stone for stone. She even threw up the woman's infertility issues in her face. So Sarai decided to clue Abram in on how Hagar was treating her. Now that she had conceived. Abram quickly backed up out of the situation, telling Sarai, it's entirely in your hands. Do as you please with Hagar. What did he say that for? Sarai retaliated by humiliating Hagar. The text says her behavior towards her was harsh, to say the least. Stone for stone. Oh, yes, they were going at it. No holds barred. They were going at it. Somebody under the sound of my voice, I hope you will be inspired tonight to put down your stones and stop throwing stone for stone at the other person. Can't you see that every time you hit them with something, they come back even harder at you with something? If you don't get anything else from tonight's message, at least take this from Sarah and Hagar. Retaliation is not worth it. I'll say it again. Retaliation is not worth it. Somebody, all that constant retaliation is causing unbearable hostility in the workplace. Hagar was Sarai's maid, which means, in plain English, she worked for Sarai. So all of this, first of all, was taking place where Hagar worked. Secondly, because Sarai went and made Hagar her husband's secondary wife, the hostility between them was not a family issue. Because Sarai went with her brilliant plan that wasn't so brilliant. Sarai because with her plan, she went and made Hagar her husband's secondary wife, which means the hostility between them was now a family issue. And any time there is hostility, resentment, and retaliation going on in a family, things are not good, not good at all. Somebody can attest to that. Things are not good. If all those things are going on in your family, things are not good. Yet the unhealthy cycle of throwing stone for stone continued. And somebody, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because you're going at it with that person, with that family member right now. The cycle continued until Hagar had enough. She had enough of being humiliated and treated harshly by the woman who was trying to use her. Of all people, she was treated harshly. She was humiliated by the woman who was trying to use her to become a mom. But love, what do you do when you get tired of that person using you? But love, what do you do when you get tired of that person using you? Do you retaliate, or do you just up and run away? Run away for you could mean just getting in the car driving, no real destination, just driving. Run away for you could mean staying late at work to avoid coming home to more stress. Or if the person that you're trying to stop having confrontations with, stop retaliating with, if that person is at work at your job, run away for you could mean not making eye contact with that person ever and trying your best to make yourself invisible as far as they're concerned. But seriously, though, what do you do? Hagar tried retaliating, but now she had enough of the stone throwing. But now she had enough of the stone throwing, enough of feeling used, humiliated, treated harshly on top of it all. So she decides to run. She runs away, and the angel of the Lord finds her hiding out by a spring of water in the wilderness, playing the role of a victim. Playing the role of a victim. She was hiding out by a spring of water in the wilderness, playing the role of a victim. Even though if you really examine tonight's foundational text, Hagar gave as good as she got. Oh, yeah, Sarah put it out there, but Hagar did too. So Hagar gave as good as she got. Still, I guess you could say that she was the victim because Sarah did start the whole thing, her and her so-called brilliant baby-making plan. It all depends on how you look at it, because even though you may feel like a victim, because even though you may feel like a victim, like the one being mistreated and used on a regular, I'm sure if I talk to the other person, they would say the same thing, that they are the victim, the one that's being mistreated, the one that's being used by you. Nevertheless, here Hagar was by a spring of water in the wilderness, and the angel of the Lord said to her, Hagar, Sarai's wife, Sarai's maid. I find it interesting that the angel of the Lord referred to her as Sarai's maid. Even though she was trying to run away, the angel of the Lord still called her by what she was called to do for that season. She was called to be Sarai's maid. So the angel of the Lord said, Hagar, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where did you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, go back to your mistress and submit humbly to her authority. The Lord wanted Hagar to go back and submit to Sarai's authority because in those days, Sarai was her mistress or her master. The same way he wants us to submit to his authority. The same way he wants us to submit to his authority because he's our master. The Bible says it like this. You who are servants, be good servants to your masters, not just good masters, but also to bad ones. What counts is that you put up with it. What counts is that you put up with it for God's sake. What counts is that you put up with it for God's sake when you're treated badly for no reason. There's no particular virtue in accepting punishment that you well deserve. But if you're treated badly for good behavior, but if you're treated badly for good behavior and continue on in spite of it to be a good servant, that is what counts with God. That is what counts with God. This is the kind of life you've been called to, the kind of life Christ lived, which means things won't always be easy. Things won't always be easy. Hear me. Things won't always be easy. He suffered everything that came his way. He suffered everything that came his way. So you, yes, you, so you, somebody tuning in to Prolific Fire, so you would know that it could be done. That's for those of you that say, Prophet Stacy, I can't do this. It can be done. He suffered everything that came his way, so that you would know that it could be done, and so that you would know how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong. He never did one thing wrong. Unlike us, he never did one thing wrong. Never once said anything amiss. They called him every name in the book. I'm talking about Jesus. They called him every name in the book, and he still said nothing back. He still said nothing back. You see, beloved, we are too quick to fight with our mouths. You see, beloved, we are too quick to fight with our mouths, which is why we find ourselves getting in trouble, throwing stone for stone. You see, beloved, we are too quick to fight with our mouths. Is what happens when we're not careful. It could lead to some serious stone throwing like Sarah and Hagar had going on. He said nothing back. He suffered in silence. He said nothing back. He suffered in silence. That's a lesson for somebody right there. He said nothing back. He suffered in silence. Content to let God set things right. Jesus was content to let God set things right. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 25 from the Message Bible. You can't keep running. You can't keep running, hear me, you can't keep running compared to some of the things that Christians were faced with back in the book of Acts, compared to some of the things the Christians were faced with back in the book of Acts, being persecuted, shipwrecked, etc. Most of us have it pretty easy in comparison. Compared to all of that, most of us have it pretty easy. You can't keep running. Running is not the answer unless, hear me clearly, running is not the answer unless they are physically abusing you, threatening your life. Then you should run away. Then you should run away from them and stay away from them. If they are physically abusing you, threatening your life, then you should run away from them and stay away from them. Otherwise, put up with it. Yeah, I said it. Otherwise, put up with it. And be content with God setting things right. And do like Jesus. Be content with God setting things right. You may not always like that other person's actions. You may not always like that other person's actions. But if God has put them in a place of authority in the workplace, you are to come in. You are to come in, submit to their authority, and do your job as unto the Lord. Therefore, ultimately, you are not submitting to the person, but to God that's over the person. Ultimately, you are not submitting to the person, but to the God that's over that person. So if God has put them in a place of authority in the workplace, you are to come in, submit to their authority, and do your job unto the Lord. You may not feel like answering the phone, doing the paperwork, or whatever your job requires. Based on how ugly they've been towards you, you may not feel like doing it, but still do it, and do it as unto the Lord. Remember, things between Sarah and Hagar were both work-related and a family issue. Things between Sarah and Hagar were both work-related and a family issue. So at home, you may even feel like that person doesn't deserve to eat. So at home, somebody, I know you feel like this. You may even feel like that person doesn't deserve to eat based on how ugly they treated you. Fix their plate anyway. Do it as unto the Lord. The Lord knows that your thinking won't just automatically shift overnight. Somebody, the Lord does know that just won't just shift automatically overnight, causing you to honestly say, I'm doing this for the Lord as unto the Lord. That's why the scripture starts off saying, whatever you do, work at it. That's why the scripture starts off saying, whatever you do, work at it. Work at it how? The scripture goes on to tell you how. The scripture says, with all your heart, as working unto the Lord, not human masters. The New Living Translation said, not people. Working as unto the Lord and not people. Somebody, you need to really hear me. You need to really hear me. You are not doing it for that person. I know they treated you harshly, like Sarah did Hagar. But you are not doing it as unto that person. You are not doing it for that person. You are not doing it for that person, but for the Lord. Therefore, look past that person's pettiness. Therefore, look past that person's pettiness and stop going there with them. And stop going there with them. Stop stooping to their level. You don't get petty lowering your standards. You don't get petty lowering your standards of behavior to accommodate their foolishness. Especially, you don't lower your standard of behavior to accommodate their foolishness, especially since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. Especially since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. If you just hold on and do what he told you to do and do it as unto the Lord, if you submit yourself to him and not them, and do what he said, because he's your master and not them. Because we don't live back in Genesis 16. So the person is not your master, but the Lord Jesus Christ is. So if he's told you to do a certain thing a certain way, do what he said, because you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord, a reward from the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 NIV. And deep down underneath the fighting, the backbiting, stone for stone craziness. And deep down, somebody underneath all the fighting, the backbiting, the stone for stone craziness, if that person really is somebody you care about, I suggest you be woman enough, you be man enough to forget what you had planned to get back at them. Forget what you had planned to get back at them. All retaliation does is breed more retaliation. All retaliation does is breed more retaliation. All retaliation does is forces that person to want to separate themselves permanently from you. All retaliation does is forces that person to want to separate themselves from you permanently because they're tired. Hagar had got tired of Sarai's mess, even though she threw some good stones and said she had got tired of the whole thing. Hagar was running away from Sarai with every intention of permanently separating herself from her. It was only because the angel of the Lord told her to go back that she went back. Don't always expect the Lord or the angel of the Lord to step in. Don't always expect the Lord. Oh, I know he can do it, but don't always expect the Lord or the angel of the Lord to step in and stop what you can stop. Don't always expect that. Don't always expect the Lord or the angel of the Lord to step in and stop what you yourself can stop. The Bible says, if it is possible, listen to this scripture, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12 and 18 from the New King James. You can't keep running. Running is not the answer. You can't keep throwing stone for stone. Not if you want somebody there to love you. You can't keep throwing stone for stone. Not if you want that certain person there to love you. Not if you want that same person there to love you. You can't keep doing what you're doing. I feel led right now to talk to married people for a second. Wife, don't you let some woman with a Hagar spirit who thinks just because she can deliver in an area that you can't. Don't you let her get close to your man like that. Oh, there are Hagar spirits out there, and they will try you and your man. And just because she thinks she can deliver in an area that you can't. As a matter of fact, just because she knows that she can deliver in an area that you can't. Just like Hagar knew she could deliver in an area that Sarah could. She could deliver a child. She conceived. So she knew she could bring forth a child. That kind of spirit will test your relationship. Don't you let her get close to your man like that. And husband, watch that woman around you that has a Sarai spirit. Oh, there's some Sarai spirits out there too. She always has a plan that sounds good until it goes wrong. She has a plan that sounds good. It sounds like nothing will go wrong. Sounds like won't nobody get caught up in nothing. Don't you fall for that. Don't you get caught up, husband, in the middle of her drama and lose what you have at home. Stop running and work on what you have at home. That's a word from the Lord right there. That's a word. Stop running and work on what you have at home. Do it as unto the Lord. Stop running from your crazy boss. Somebody stop running from your crazy boss and be a blessing on that job in spite of it. Because you know what? In the last two verses of tonight's foundational text, the Lord promised to bless Hagar. The Lord promised to bless Hagar through what she was carrying. But first, hear me, but first, she had to go back and submit. Read Genesis chapter 16, verses 10 through 11 from the Amplified. Somebody, you need to go back. You need to go back. You need to desperately go back and submit. Resubmit yourself to the Lord and then to the things you once held so dear. First of all, submit yourself to the Lord. Resubmit yourself to the Lord and then to the things you once held so dear. I do believe somebody listening in tonight is carrying something. I do believe somebody listening in tonight is carrying something that will make a major difference in your situation. And that's why the retaliation has been so strong. I do believe you're carrying something that will make a major difference in your situation, and that's why the retaliation has been so strong. But you can't keep running. I don't care how hard it's been, how strong it's been. You can't keep running. Do what you can. Do what you can do to make peace, because you can't keep running. Put down the stones. Put down the stones. As much as it depends on you, do what you can. And then, you know what you do after all of that? And then take comfort, because the Lord has heard and paid attention to your persecution. The Lord has heard and paid attention to your persecution, to your suffering. You have his word on it. You have his word on it, which is Genesis 16, verse 11 from the Amplified. And his word, if you know your Bible, you know his word does not return to him void. That's a biblical promise. His word does not return to him void. Therefore, stand on it. Stand on it tonight. Believe it. So be it. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone tuning in that desires salvation or to know more about salvation, go to PolitifyYourMinistry.com. I want you to go to PolitifyYourMinistry.com and be led in prayer and learn the 16 benefits of salvation. I'm not saying that there are not more. The Lord just gave me 16 benefits of salvation at that particular time, along with scripture. That's what he gave me. So go to PolitifyYourMinistry.com and be led in prayer and learn 16 benefits of salvation if you're somebody that desires to know more about salvation. On the other hand, if you desire prayer or Bible-based consultation, call or text me at 865-408-8690. Again, the number is 865-408-8690. Or you can email prolificfire@gmail.com. prolificfire@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at prolificfire, on Instagram at prophetessaisy. You can DM me on either one of those if you need to. Like the Prolific Fire Ministry Facebook and join us right here on Faith on the Line with Prophetess Pate, right here Friday night for prayer and encouragement. It starts at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. It's 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific by calling the number that many of you called tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in, by the way. Thank you for calling the number tonight, and I ask that you call it again on Friday. The number is 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. We would love to pray with you. We would love to pray with you for your needs on that night. So call in and make your prayer request known if you desire. Then join me back here on Prolific Fire for another word from the Lord.
I pray that somebody was blessed on tonight. Once again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in, whether you were listening online, on the phone, on the podcast, on iTunes. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. I see tonight that there are no live prayer requests, but I gave you my information, so if you need me, reach out. Until next time, everybody, have a blessed night. I'm out.